impeachment into a show, into a dramatic event, because he believes this will hurt Democrats. But why would he even have a say in how the trial goes? He's the one on trial. You know, the Republicans are screaming that the process is unfair as the defendant is telling them how long he wants the trial to last.
This week, during the NATO conference in London, foreign leaders were caught on a hot mic making fun of President Trump. This included Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, French President Emmanuel Macron, and British Prime Minister Boris Johnson, who Trump had considered a friend. Some dismissed it as petty high school gossip, but you should have seen what happened in the NATO cafeteria.
Mark.
Hey, Norway. NATO conference has been hella rad this year.
Totally. So international and fun.
Oh my God, look. It's Trudeau and Macron. They're so cool.
Bonjour.
Hey, sorry.
Oh my God, wow. And I guess Boris Johnson is hanging out with them now too?
Come on, let's get some lunch. Maybe even a little bit of wine, because we are bad boys.
Shh. Oh, look. Shh. Quiet. Shh. It's Trump.
Did you see him speak for 45 minutes the other day? He was just supposed to be for a photo.
Well, if I look like him, I try to distract the photographer, too.
Yeah, he's not good looking like us three. Hey, guys, is this seat taken?
Sorry, actually it is.
Yes, we would love to see you talk and chew at the same time, but we promised this seat to a friend.
Well, I'm Boris's friend, right, Boris?
Don't make this harder than it already is, old man. I'm hanging out with these guys now. Why don't you sit over there, Donald, with Latvia?
Latvia seems more your speed.
Okay, well, let's hang out later then, okay?
Definitely. Hey, by the way, you look thin. Have you lost weight?
Actually, I've gained quite a bit.
Well, it does not show. You look good.
Yeah, and your tie, what is it made of? Chinese chemicals. It's a clip-on top and bottom.
Very cool. Well, au revoir.
Okay.
Oh, my God, that guy's a mess. Oh,
did you hear him talk about climate change the other day? He said we need stronger toilets.
He's like dumber than Boris.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he's dumber than me.
Quick, wave to him so he thinks that we like him.
These are my best friends. We run this place.
Oh, that's nice. Hi, my name is Eggless, but you can call me Egg. Huh? Would you like to try some of my pickled squid?
Yeah, that's great, Ted.
Okay, so this one time in Latvia, we fed the Wolverine schnapps, and he went nuts.
Oh, my God, I'm at the loser's table. I can't believe they made me sit with the foreign guy.
Hey, this is NATO. We're all foreign.
Okay, Fred, please, I'm trying to listen in here.
So, Boris, Macron and I were talking. We think that you should throw a party this weekend at Buckingham Palace.
Well, that's the Queen's house.
Oh, do it, Boris, unless you're not cool enough.
Did someone say something about a party?
Oh, I don't think you'd want to go. You'd have to walk upstairs.
Yes, and the food is all high quality, but small portions. It's your nightmare.
Yeah, and you like younger women, but this party only has Macron's wife.
What did you just say?
Nothing. I just meant, you know, your wife is older. That's good. I like when it's me, but not about me. So should I sit with you guys now? Because this seat is still not taken.
No, actually, this is for someone else.
This will be just the fourth time in U.S. history that articles of impeachment have been brought against a president.
No president wants to have the big eye tattooed on him, impeachment. It makes you a part of the loser's club of history.
Our new details this morning about how the White House plans to defend the president against a Senate impeachment trial. White House lawyers met behind closed doors with Republican senators yesterday.
Settle down. All right, let's go over the facts. Trump held up Ukrainian military aid and then asked them to launch a phony investigation into his political rival. How do we defend this, Senator Scarecrow?
Look at the transcript. When Trump says favor, he was actually saying favor, which is Spanish for favor. I got nothing.
You've heard Trump and his Republican allies cycle through one obviously bad faith excuse after another. They complained about the private process. Then they complained about the public process. They accused Ukraine of meddling in the 2016 election. They said the president was just worried about corruption in Ukraine in general. They said there was no quid pro quo at all. All of those arguments, of course, are lies. In reality, Republicans have no answer for one very simple question at the heart of this impeachment process. Is it okay for the president to pressure a foreign government to help him cheat in an election? And my favorite example of this came last week when Republican Congressman Doug Collins, the ranking member on the Judiciary Committee, was asked that question and offered up some incoherent word puke.
You keep saying that the president was concerned about corruption, but in neither of those phone calls, he mentioned the word corruption. Why didn't the president mention the word corruption and instead ask the Ukrainian president to investigate the Bidens?
Well, that's almost like saying, why don't you ask, you know, frame your questions differently. He said this is what he wanted to look into. He said, can you, as you said, help us as a country because we're trying to heal. We've had, as Mr. Jordan said earlier and did a great job of it, we had just come off the Mueller hearing, which was most all of you covered and found to be a total disaster for the impeachment narrative that the Democrats have been saying. What we're simply saying here is that the issue was what happened on that call. And then there became all these stories from the whistleblowers about all these things that supposedly happened. And since then, fact witnesses and even hearsay evidence has said, no, that's not what happened.
What? Was any of that English? If you put those words into Google Translate, it would just give up. But that right there is a perfect distillation of where the Republicans are right now. They don't have a coherent defense, so they just throw out a string of random buzzwords as quickly as they can and hope people buy it. In fact, here's GOP Congressman Jim Jordan at yesterday's House Judiciary hearing basically doing the same thing, just speeding through a bunch of nonsense as fast as he can.
Ambassador Taylor recalls that Mr. Morrison told Ambassador Taylor that I told Mr. Morrison that I conveyed this message to Mr. Yarmak on September 1st, 2019 in connection with Vice President Pence's visit to Warsaw.
Oh my God, man, are you reading the evidence or auctioning it off? I mean, listen to him. He sounds like he should be talking to squirrels on a bench in Times Square. Now, Taylor said to Morrison that Yarmak told Pence about his visit to Warsaw. I mean, isn't that right, Pigeon? The pigeon isn't listening, but the squirrel is. Oh, wait, he's not. He's eating a nut. But where'd he get it? I don't see a nut tree. How come we've been here for 9 months? We don't know where this squirrel got his nut.
President Trump's persistent and continuing effort to coerce a foreign country to help him cheat to win an election is a clear and present danger to our free and fair elections, and to our national security.
So as it relates to President Trump, is he an incidental player or a central player in this scheme?
President Trump is the central player in this scheme.
Who sent Rudy Giuliani to Ukraine to smear Joe Biden?
President Trump.
Who fired the anti-corruption ambassador in Ukraine, Marie Yovanovitch?
President Trump.
Who told Ambassador Sondland and Ambassador Volker to work with Rudy Giuliani on Ukraine?
President Trump.
Who ordered his own chief of staff, Mick Mulvaney, to withhold critical military assistance for Ukraine?
President Trump.
Who refused to meet with President Zelensky in the Oval Office?
President Trump.
Who asked President Zelensky for a favor?
President Trump.
Who personally asked President Zelensky to investigate his political rival, Joe Biden?
President Trump.
Yes, it was a quid pro quo, and yes, it was to investigate the Bidens. And the basic truth is Republicans in the White House just don't care. They want us all to just accept it and move on. They've already said as much.
Was there a quid pro quo? As I testified previously, with regard to the requested White House call and the White House meeting, the answer is yes.
What exactly did you hope Zelensky?
Well, I would think that if they were honest about it, they'd start a major investigation into the Bidens.
But to be clear, what you just described is a quid pro quo.
We do that all the time with foreign policy. And I have news for everybody. Get over it.
Get over it? These guys are such assholes. They talk like dumb truck stop bumper stickers. My other ride is your mom. Get over it. But that's their real argument. You can pretty much ignore everything else they say, all the process complaints, the buzzwords, the brain vomit. The Republicans' argument is simple. We can do whatever we want, get over it. Well, today, House Democrats responded by telling the Trump White House that they will definitely not just get over it.
Today, in service to our duty to the Constitution and to our country, the House Committee on the Judiciary is introducing two articles of impeachment charging the President of the United States, Donald J. Trump, with committing high crimes and misdemeanors.
Can't wait until an election to remove a president who's made clear he's willing to cheat in that election. In fact, today, as Democrats were unveiling articles of impeachment, Trump was welcoming the Russian foreign minister, Sergei Lavrov, into the White House. And a White House spokesman actually said on Fox News this morning that the two would discuss election security.
President Trump meets Russia's foreign secretary, Lavrov, at the White House this afternoon. Now, we're told that this is about arms control. But it's going to look real bad. It's going to be Russia, 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 Sergei Lavrov. It's going to get bad PR out of it, isn't it?
I don't think so. Listen, these kind of conversations are critical. You know, it's incumbent upon any American president to try and build relationships across the globe. We're absolutely expected to talk about arms control, but also election security.
He's going to discuss election security with the Russians? That's like airing a say no to drugs PSA with Walter White. At this point, all Trump and his allies have left is one thing, lying about the investigations and claiming there's some sort of treasonous deep state witch hunt to overthrow him.
More news about Trump's personal attorney and Scooby-Doo villain who's scarier without the mask, Rudy Giuliani.
President's lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, has been prepping his own case in Ukraine. He's been there. Trump says that he plans to deliver a report based on new information he uncovered there last week. Giuliani has extensive ties to the region, both through his legal work and his extended family in nearby Transylvania. And now all they have to do is figure out how to ship his coffin home and look out.
Giuliani spent the week in Ukraine. The collusion there is lovely this time of year. But now Rudy's back. And he says he never wanted this mission. It chose him.
I looked into Ukraine because...
Quick, Rudy. Quick, Rudy, think of something. Don't obviously lie.
It was thrown at me, put in my lap.
Okay, that actually sounds true. I believe it was thrown at him because I don't think anyone would willingly get in his lap. Giuliani took issue with people saying that he's corrupt, adding, I really try very hard to be super ethical and always legal. Does he think those are legal terms? Your Honor, my client pleads mega innocent. We humbly request infinite freedom.
You made a ruling on the point of order, Mr. Chairman.
Yesterday, we got results from the Department of Justice's Inspector General report into the origins of the Russia investigation. And despite Trump's conspiracy theories, to the contrary, the IG found that the FBI was justified in opening its investigation into ties between the Trump campaign and Russia and did not act with political bias. Good news for the FBI and the country.
The Department of Justice Inspector General Michael Horowitz declared he was unable to find any political bias behind the surveillance of the 2016 Trump campaign. All this, more evidence of the radical Dems and the deep state's awesome control of our permanent bureaucracy of our federal government.
There is no proof there's a deep state conspiracy. That just proves there is a deep state conspiracy because only the deep state could have hidden the proof.
Breaking news, a long-awaited report from the Justice Department's Inspector General finding the FBI's launch of the Russia probe was valid and unbiased. The report also says that there was no spying on the Trump campaign, which is a conspiracy theory that Trump has pushed since taking office.
It's important that the Inspector General found that in this particular instance, the investigation was opened with appropriate predication and authorization.
Just minutes after that aired, President Trump tweeted this. I don't know what report current director of the FBI, Christopher Wray, was reading, but it sure wasn't the one given to me.
No, it wasn't? Well, maybe the report you got didn't match the actual report, since the actual report was 434 pages long. Trump's aides probably gave him a one-page memo that read, you were right again, boss. But there's another argument on top of all the lying and conspiracy theories that's infuriating. Trump and the GOP have also argued that impeachment is somehow hurting the country and preventing the government from helping people, even while the Trump White House itself is actively hurting the most vulnerable.
As you head into Christmas and you head into the holiday season, people are going to want results from Congress. And right now, all they're getting is hatred, vitriol, and a sham impeachment hearing that doesn't do anything to put food on the tables of the American people.
Oh, now you're worried about putting food on people's tables? Last week, you guys kicked 700,000 people off food stamps by imposing awful new work requirements. Think about how cruel that is. Work requirements from a guy who never works. Trump spends most of his time tweeting, watching TV, and crawling around his golf course like a groundhog who just popped out of the 18th hole. Looks like he's auditioning for the role of the gopher in a remake of Caddyshack. That's the kind of cruelty Republicans have committed themselves to defending. And they're fine with doing it. Today, Democrats at least put down a marker and said there will be consequences for Trump's behavior. They asked a simple question. Should a president be allowed to cheat to win an election? And instead of offering a coherent defense, all Republicans could say was...
Why don't you ask, frame your questions differently.
Rise, my friend.
The last poll just came out. As you saw, we're leading. I think it's all about competence. It's about leadership. I really am competent.
It would seem very hard to obstruct justice for a crime that never happened. Witch hunt. I think that would qualify not as not smart, but genius. And a very stable genius at that. MAGA.
With everything Donald Trump's been going through lately, it's easy to understand why he prefers an alternate reality. This video his campaign tweeted today, this one has Trump's head on the body of Thanos, the murderous, genocidal villain from the Avengers movies, because Trump voters are supposed to root for the bad guy. In this clip, Trump Thanos proclaims he is inevitable, snaps his fingers, and wipes out the Democrats who are impeaching him and gets reelected. But if only that easy, and if only they'd chosen a better scene, because as the 100 million people who saw Avengers Endgame know, that scene is actually where the bad guy met his end.
I am inevitable.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have the honey drippers in the house tonight, and they just got back from Washington, D.C. I think they got something they want to say.
Can't do that, I said.
Impeach the president.
Impeach the president. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, children of America, it's up to you. Let Mr. Politician know how you feel. Let him know that you're not going to take no more. Stop paying taxes. Stop paying for corruption and injustice. It's up to you.
September 11th, and Saddam Hussein. War is my last choice.
90.7 FM.
Acre, Hudson, Catskill.
This is Chris France of Tom Tom Club, and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Acre.
Common Ground is a private, not-for-profit organization offering dispute resolution services to the people in Columbia and Greene counties. Common Ground provides trained mediators who work to resolve the differences between two or more participants on issues including family, housing, business, workplace, school, and neighborhood disputes. The mediation process is informal, private, confidential, and voluntary. For more information, please contact Common Ground at 518-943-0523 or on our website www.commongroundinc.org.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Hilo Catskill, cafe, bar, art gallery, and performance space located at 365 Main Street, Catskill, New York. Wayfarms WGXC is pleased to broadcast live from Hilo every Tuesday morning starting at 9 a.m. In addition, Hilo live events are streamed and broadcast in conjunction with the Wayfarm Radio Transmit Partner Program.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Dave Freed of Cornwallville, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
Climate Youth declare, we are unstoppable. Another world is possible.
We are unstoppable. Another world is possible.
I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! With Dennis Moynihan and our weekly Breaking the Sound Barrier podcast, recorded this week in Madrid, Spain. This year's United Nations Climate Summit, dubbed COP25 for the 25th annual Conference of the Parties to the Climate Negotiations, heated up Wednesday as grassroots activists, youth, and indigenous leaders protested en masse outside the main plenary hall. As the Democracy Now! NewsHour broadcast live from the convention center, chants rang out, "Shame, shame, and the people united will never be defeated," in Spanish and English. And what do we want? Climate justice. When do we want it? Now. The protest was one of many here in Madrid, challenging the lack of progress in finalizing rules for the implementation of the 2015 Paris Agreement, the global treaty that is the last best hope to forestall catastrophic, irreversible climate catastrophe.
The COP has been moving in a dangerously bad direction.
That's Nimo Bassi, Director of Health of Mother Earth Foundation, based in Nigeria, speaking on the Democracy Now! NewsHour from outside the plenary hall where the protest was taking place.
The protesters here are saying that the trajectory on which the COP negotiation is moving, which is towards market mechanisms rather than real climate action, is the wrong direction. Protesters are saying, look, you have to respect indigenous territories, you have to respect the rights of people from less polluting nations, and that what we need now is real climate action and not just another talk shop.
The Wednesday protest was scheduled to directly challenge just such a talk show on the summit's main stage, where one of the featured speakers was Ana Butín, executive chairperson of the Santander Group, the 16th largest bank in the world. Forbes magazine called Butín the ninth most powerful woman in the world. According to Rainforest Action Network's 2019 Banking on Climate Change report card, Santander holds tens of billions of dollars in fossil fuel investments, from deep-sea oil extraction to Arctic oil exploration, from fracking to ventures in LNG, that's liquefied natural gas. Critics have long argued that corporations have polluted the UN's climate negotiations, and protests here in Madrid over the past 2 weeks have hammered that point home. COP25 was abruptly moved from Santiago, Chile, to Madrid as nationwide protests against inequality and austerity in Chile prompted right-wing President Sebastian Piñera to cancel the UN climate summit there. Chile retained the mostly ceremonial presidency of COP25. The COP's logo is a stylized clock with a linear outline of Chile forming one of the clock hands. The accompanying slogan, hashtag Time for Action, is plastered all over the sprawling conference complex and on government buildings around Madrid. But inside COP25, diplomatic decorum and entrenched bureaucracy cast a pall over the proceedings, masking the urgency of the crisis. On the front lines of the worsening climate disaster, there's scant space for polite dialogue. Extreme weather events made more severe and more frequent by human-induced global warming are killing thousands, from hurricanes and typhoons to wildfires and droughts. Much of Australia's east coast is consumed by wildfires caused by the global heating. Smoke from the fires has blanketed Sydney, causing smoke alarms to go off nonstop in the city. In Brazil, President Jair Bolsonaro has encouraged burning of the Amazon rainforest, considered the lungs of the planet for the irreplaceable, complex ecological systems it supports.
We have been attacked to our democracy, we have been attacked to our forests, and we as originary people, as indigenous people from the forest, are trying to defend what is left of nature. Indigenous territories defend more than 80% of biodiversity in this world. Biodiversity is connected to cultural diversity. It is in our knowledge, in our way of life.
That's indigenous activist Daeria Tucamo from the Brazilian Amazon speaking on the Democracy Now! NewsHour from the protest outside the COP25 plenary hall. While Forbes may rank the wealthy, Time magazine named Greta Thunberg as its 2019 Person of the Year Wednesday, just as the protest at COP25 was at its height. The 16-year-old Swedish climate activist began school striking just over a year and a half ago, skipping school on Fridays to stand in front of the Swedish parliament demanding urgent action to combat climate change. Her solitary protest inspired millions around the world to take action, building on an already vibrant youth climate movement with dedicated leadership among indigenous youth and other youth of color worldwide. Greta spoke at COP25's high-level event on climate emergency Wednesday morning.
In just 3 weeks, we will enter a new decade. A decade that will define our future. Right now, we are desperate for any sign of hope. Well, I'm telling you, there is hope. I have seen it. But it does not come from the governments or corporations. It comes from the people.
Afterward, scores of youth activists rushed the stage as security tried to escort them off. They stood immovable, fists raised in the air. You can't drink oil, keep it in the soil, they chanted. Their final chant as they walked off the stage, we are unstoppable. Another world is possible.
We are unstoppable. Another world is
I'm Amy Goodman with Dennis Moynihan in Madrid, Spain.
Yeah, for some reason or another, you sound a little taller on radio.
Next, here is 2019 new music from Aphex Twin. This is Slow Bird Whistle, a Peel Sessions track. Thank you.
was born March 4, 1903, near Union City, Kentucky, in Madison County. My parents had 5 children in 9 years, 3 boys and 2 girls. In 1910, we moved from Union City to Brookstown, which is near Red House. I started in a one-room school that was heated by a large coal heater in the middle of the room, with double desks, 2 or 3 sitting together in the seat. It had a large recitation bench up in front where we sat when having class. All 8 grades were taught in this room with just one teacher. Most of the time, the teacher made the fires, swept the floors, and straightened up the room before any of the children arrived. Some of the girls and boys in the upper grades would help with the ones in the lower grades. After graduating in 1921, I taught a 3-month spring school at Brookstown. In a spring school, the parents paid the teacher $3 a month for each pupil. Certificate. I taught the first 4 grades at Red House School for 2 years, then taught 1 year in high school. That year, my youngest brother and sister went to school with me, and they graduated that year. In the fall of 1927, I went to Benham in Harlan County. There were 130 children in the first grade, so the class was divided with 2 teachers. They were building a new school building. And as we didn't have enough room, one teacher taught half of them from 8 to 12, and I taught the other 65 from 12:30 to 4. In January 1928, I got married. Finished out that year, then quit teaching to raise our family. In 1933, we moved from Harlan County to Stanford in Lincoln County. We have 1 son and 4 daughters. In 1956, I returned to teaching as a substitute. Then in 58, I taught the first 4 grades in a 2-room school in Roland. In 59, I came back to Union City to teach in the same building that my mother had begun her teaching career many years ago. And in the spring of 60, they gave me the principal's job. We moved to Union City, and in 1962 the school was consolidated with the Red House School to move to the new Daniel Boone School here in Madison County. I went to summer school, then started teaching the second grade. It was the first school that I had ever had just one grade, with new equipment and many conveniences. In 63, I taught 12 days and got sick. So I took a year's leave of absence. After resting and getting to feel better, I decided to come back to Eastern the second term and hope to get my degree in August. Deal in common, as you went to rural school and loved living on a farm in your childhood days. Also, I love boys and girls. If it wasn't for the love of being with boys and girls, trying to teach them to be good citizens, I wouldn't be going to school, for at my age, it is very hard to concentrate and learn with the younger generation being so alert.
That was Rachel Grimes with Red House School from the 2019 album The Way Forth. Endless Boogie with Style of Jamboree from their 2019 album Volume 1 and 2. We'll be right back. That was Lightning Bolt with Husker Don't from their 2019 album Sonic Citadel on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM.